I would love to order some perfumes for my bridal party, but I couldn't find you online. The website isn't up yet. Darn. Can I possibly order them directly from you then? Sure, of course. Eve, that's great. I've been struggling to figure out what to get each of the girls. I want something personalized and special. This is so perfect. I absolutely love mine, by the way. Thank you for doing that. I couldn't get over this conversation. Olivia was calling me to place an order, not ream me out for crashing her wedding. Was it possible she didn't realize I was the same person? I didn't think so, since I'd mailed her gift and an apology note in the same box, and she'd obviously had a conversation with Hudson about me. Thank you. I can send them some kits and make their orders a priority once they tell me what they like. Oh no, I want it to be a surprise. I know a lot about them. Maybe I could just tell you what they normally wear and a little bit about them, and you could come up with something? I wasn't sure that would be as effective as the way I normally did it, but there was no way in hell I could say no to her. Sure, that sounds good. How's Monday at 12:30? My forehead wrinkled. 12:30 is fine. Okay, would Cafe Luce on 53rd work? Is that too far for you? Do you live here in the city? My eyes bulged. She wanted to meet in person? I'd assumed she meant she was going to pencil me into her calendar for an email or a call. Yes, I live in the city, and Cafe Luce sounds good. Perfect! It's a date. Thanks, Stella. I can't wait to meet you. 10 seconds later, the line was dead. I stared at my phone. Fisher had been watching the entire conversation play out on my face.
Who was that? He said.
Olivia Royce.
And she is?
The bride whose wedding we crashed. The next day, I arrived 20 minutes early at the coffee shop. Ben had wanted to pick me up for our date, but I preferred to meet people I didn't know well in public, so I was always in full control of when I could leave. I bought a decaf latte and took a seat on a couch off to the side of the counter. My local coffee house always had newspapers and magazines for people to browse while they drank their overpriced coffees, so I picked up the New York Times and started to flip through the Sunday Style section. Halfway through, I froze when I saw a photo. After blinking a few times to make sure I wasn't imagining things, I lifted the paper closer to read the announcement. Olivia Paisley Rothschild and Mason Brighton Royce were married on July 13th at the New York Public Library in Manhattan. The Reverend Arthur Finch, an Episcopal priest, officiated. Mrs. Royce, 28, whom the groom calls Livy, is a vice president of marketing. She graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and received an MBA from Columbia. She is the daughter of Charlotte Bianchi Rothschild and Cooper E. Rothschild, both deceased, from New York City. The wedding was hosted by her brother, Hudson Rothschild. Mr. Royce, also 28, founded his own IT firm and specializes in security and compliance. He graduated from the University of Boston and received an MS in information technology from NYU. I couldn't believe I'd stumbled on their wedding announcement. What were the chances? I hadn't read the Sunday New York Times in years, so it felt like a freaky coincidence. Fisher always said if you put positive thoughts out there, positive things would come back to you. That might explain this. I'd certainly done enough thinking over the last week and a half about a certain man who had asked for my number but then never called. Earlier this week, I'd been flipping through the channels and happened to pass Dancing with the Stars. Even though I never watched it, for some reason, I kept it on. When the couples slow danced, I reminisced about how it had felt to be in Hudson's arms at his sister's wedding. That had led me to remembering how much rhythm he'd had, which in turn made my mind wander to other things his good rhythm might be helpful with. Then, on Friday night when Fisher came over after work, he'd brought me a bottle of Hendrick's gin. It reminded me of the way my arms had broken out in goosebumps when Hudson whispered in my ear, "The night's young, Evelyn. Dance with me." I'd never in a million years expected him to ask me out when I showed up with my tail between my legs at his office to pick up my phone. But once he did, I'd let my imagination run away with itself. I'd even put off my second date with Ben. But after spending more than a week waiting for my phone to ring,
I finally realized it was dumb to avoid a perfectly nice guy, one who had called multiple times, just because another guy might possibly dial my number. Ben walked in a few minutes before the time we were supposed to meet. I took one last glance at the wedding photo in the newspaper before closing it. I was determined to not ruin my date by letting thoughts of another man sneak in.
Hey.
Ben kissed me on the lips. It was only our second kiss, since our first had been at the end of our last date, but it was nice enough. There was no tingle, and goosebumps didn't run down my arms or anything, but we were in the middle of a coffee shop, so what did I expect? When Ben pulled back, he handed me a box of Godiva chocolate I hadn't noticed in his hand.
I was going to get you flowers, but I figured you'd have to carry them with you all night. This you can probably toss in your purse.
I smiled. That's very thoughtful of you. Thank you so much.
I made a reservation at a steakhouse. After, if you're up for it, there's a comedy club next door with an open mic night tonight.
That sounds great.
You ready to go?
Yep. I picked up my empty coffee cup and tossed it in the garbage on the way out. When I reached for the door handle, Ben beat me to it.
Please, let me.
Thank you. Outside, I looked left and then right. Which way are we heading?
The restaurant is a few blocks from here. It's on Hudson.
Hudson Street?
Yeah. Is that too far to walk in heels? I can grab us an Uber.
No, that's fine. But seriously, Hudson Street? We started to walk.
I haven't tried the place yet, Ben said. But it has incredible reviews, so I hope it's good.
What's it called?
Hudson's.
I had to stifle my laugh. Hudson's on Hudson Street? So much for not letting thoughts of someone else creep in tonight. Chapter 5. I arrived at the restaurant a few minutes late on Monday, even though I had left my apartment super early. The uptown local train I'd taken had decided to become an express and skipped my stop. When I entered, Olivia was already seated at a table. She looked so different out of her wedding garb that I almost didn't recognize her, but she waved and smiled like we were old friends. I had this wild notion stuck in my head that she didn't really want to order any perfume, but was luring me here so she could give me a piece of her mind in person, or worse yet, have me arrested. Her inviting smile did a lot to diffuse my paranoia. Hi. I set the box in my arms down on an empty seat and pulled out the chair across from her. I'm sorry I'm late. My train skipped the stop.
No problem.
She reached out and tilted the bread basket in my direction, showing me it was empty.
As you can see, I kept myself busy. I hadn't eaten a carb for 6 months before my wedding, so I've spent the last few months making up for lost time.
Setting the basket down, she held her hand out to me.
I'm Olivia Rothschild, by the way.
Damn it, no, I'm not. I'm Olivia Royce now. I still can't get used to that. I smiled, though I was a nervous wreck. Stella Bardot. Figuring the best thing to do was clear the air, I took a deep breath. Listen, Olivia, I'm so sorry about what I did. I'm usually not the type of person to crash a wedding. She tilted her head.
You're not? That's a shame. I thought we were going to get along so well. I crashed a prom once.
My eyes widened.
You did?
Olivia chuckled.
Yep, and I made out with some girl's date and came home with a fat lip.
My shoulders loosened.
Oh my God, you have no idea how relieved I am to know you're not mad.
She waved me off.
Nah, don't give it another thought. I was pretty impressed with the story you told. Did someone really pee their pants for you?
I smiled sadly. The memory of the truth was bittersweet now, considering my sister and I no longer spoke. Actually, it was me who did that, and it was in preschool. My sister is a year younger and had an accident during practice for the Christmas pageant. A boy pointed at her wet backside and made fun of her. I couldn't let her stand there alone.
Nice. My brother's older. He's always been ridiculously protective of me, but I'm not sure he would have gone as far as peeing his pants to save my face.
She sipped her drink.
On second thought, he probably would. He would just never admit he'd done it to protect me. He'd say he pissed his pants and I copied him, probably.
We laughed.
Hudson filled me in on how you came to be at the wedding. I wasn't surprised when he told me what Evelyn did to you, taking off in the middle of the night and sticking you with the unpaid rent. She's always been unreliable. First year of college, we went on spring break together. She met some guy who was 10 years older than us and only spoke French. 2 days into the trip, I woke up to a note saying she'd left for France to meet the guy's family because she was in love. She left me in Cancun all by myself. The bitch took my favorite pair of shoes with her. Oh my God, she took my favorite shoes when she moved out too. We laughed again, and Olivia continued. She also stole something from Lexi, my brother's ex-wife. The two of them had a falling out and stopped speaking. Then I talked my hard-ass brother into giving her a job, and after a few months, she stopped showing up. He's never going to let me live that one down. The man can hold a grudge forever. Hudson definitely doesn't seem as forgiving as you do. That's putting it mildly. He's super overprotective. When I was 16 and had my first boyfriend, Hudson used to sit outside on the steps and wait for me to come home at night. Of course, that meant I got a peck on the cheek instead of a nice goodnight makeout session. I feel bad for Charlie. She probably won't be allowed to date until she's 40. Charlie? Hudson's daughter. I nodded. I have no idea why, but I didn't expect him to have a child. Though, of course, I didn't know much about the man other than he was handsome, smelled divine, knew how to dance, and hadn't called in the 10 days since I'd given him my phone number. How old is his daughter?
6 going on 16, she laughed. He's so screwed.
The waiter came over to take our order, and I hadn't even looked at the menu yet. Olivia ordered a pear balsamic salad with chicken. That sounded good, so I did the same. So, she sniffed her wrist. Tell me how you managed to make me the best perfume I've ever smelled in my life. I'm completely obsessed with it. I smiled. Thank you. I took my clues from your wedding. You had gardenias as your centerpieces and in your bouquet, so I used that as my starting point. I overheard one of the women at the table where I was sitting say you were going to Bora Bora on your honeymoon, so I guessed you must like the beach and added some cologne, which gives it that hint of sea breeze. And then your dress was traditional, but with a bright red silk belt, so I thought you might have a bit of an edge to you. That's amazing. Even the bottle was perfect. That design was one I fell in love with, but we won't actually be selling. It's imported from Italy, and I couldn't make it work with my shoestring of a startup budget. That's a shame. It's so pretty. I'm hoping down the road I might be able to add it. For the next hour, I explained how Signature Scent worked. I gave Olivia the full demo. She sniffed all 20 of the little samplers and rated them, and then I asked her all of the questions that would eventually be up on the website as part of the ordering process. She asked a ton of questions, seeming very interested in the business side of things. I wrote notes on each of her bridal party members, and she picked out the bottles for each of them. So when does Signature Scent officially launch? She asked as we finished up. I frowned. I'm not sure. How come? It seems like you have everything all ready to go.
I do, planning-wise, anyway. But I ran into some financing issues. It's a long story, but I had a partner and needed to buy him out. I'd used a good chunk of the business funds we had to purchase inventory, so buying him out drained every penny of what I had left. Though it was fine, because I had a business line of credit large enough that I'd still be able to launch. I'd applied for the loan almost a year earlier, just in case I ran short. But when I went to draw on it the first time, the bank told me I needed to do an annual update to keep the line of credit open. I hadn't been aware of that. I'd just left my job at Estee Lauder, and when I wrote down that I'd had a change in employment, they yanked my line of credit. If I'd done it a few days earlier, I wouldn't have had to write that, and I would have been fine.
Oh, that sucks. I nodded. It does. And no bank wants to lend to someone who's unemployed. I applied with the SBA. They're pretty much my last hope.
The waiter brought the check. I reached for it, even though I hated to waste a dime these days. It was the absolute least I could do for this kind woman whose wedding I'd crashed. But Olivia beat me to it.
This lunch is on me. I invited you.
I can't let you do that. I already owe you one meal.
She waved me off and grabbed her wallet from her purse. Sticking her credit card in the leather check folio, she folded it closed.
Absolutely not, I insist.
Before I could argue further, she held up her hand and the waiter swooped in and took the bill. I sighed, feeling like a loser.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
We walked outside together. I was going uptown to run some errands, and she was heading downtown back to work, so we said goodbye. Olivia pulled me in for a hug like we were the old friends I'd said we were at her wedding.
I'll have your scents ready next week, I told her.
I can ship them to you or to each individual person if you prefer. She smiled.
Call me when they're ready and we'll figure something out.
Okay, I will.
A week later, I was up to my eyeballs in cardboard.
That's the last of it.
Fisher stacked the last carton on top of an already 5-foot-high mountain of boxes. He pulled up his t-shirt and used the bottom to wipe sweat from his forehead.
You better be making stuffed manicotti soon for all this lifting you had me do today.
I promise I will. I didn't realize how much I'd accumulated in that storage unit. I can't believe there were 200 boxes in there.
In my ongoing effort to cut costs, I'd enlisted Fisher to help me relocate everything from my pricey self-storage unit to my apartment. Since I no longer had a roommate, I had the space here. Fisher reached behind him into the waistband of his shorts.
I almost forgot. I picked up our mail on my last trip in. This package you got is falling apart. It looks like the mailman ripped it when he jammed it in your box to make it fit.
Everything was damp from his back sweat. My nose wrinkled.
Gross. Put it over there for me, please.
Fisher tossed the pile on the kitchen table, and the envelopes fanned out. The logo on the corner of one caught my eye. The SBA. I picked it up and examined it.
Oh my God, this is a small envelope. That's not a good sign.
Who's it from?
The Small Business Administration. I was supposed to get a decision on the loan I applied for in 2 to 3 weeks. It's barely been two.
That's great. They probably loved your business so much they couldn't wait to approve you.
I shook my head. When you apply for something and you get back a thin envelope, it's never a good sign. It's like finding a regular-sized white envelope from the college you applied to in your mailbox instead of the big brown one they send with all your welcome stuff inside.
If they were approving me, this would be thick. Fisher rolled his eyes.
Most things are done online these days. Stop being so negative and open the damn thing. I bet there's a login and password for you to go online and sign whatever they need you to sign.
I blew out a deep breath. I don't have a good feeling, Fisher. What am I going to do if they decline me? I've applied at 3 banks already. No one is giving an unemployed person a loan. I was an idiot to quit my job and think I could make a go of this business. They already filled my job at Estee Lauder, and most of the decent jobs for perfume chemists are overseas now. What the hell am I going to do? How am I going to pay my rent?
Fisher put his hands on my shoulders.
Take a deep breath. You don't even know what's in the envelope yet. For all we know, it might be a form letter just thanking you for applying or telling you there's a delay in processing.
I was too nervous to open it, so I held the envelope out to my friend.
You do it. I can't.
Fisher shook his head, but tore open the envelope. I watched, holding my breath as his eyes scanned the first few lines. The frown that formed at the corners of his lips told me everything I needed to know. I shut my eyes. Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Stella. They said you don't have enough time in the business or a strong enough positive cash flow. But how the hell are you supposed to have either of those if they don't give you the loan to help you get the business up and running?
I sighed. I know. That's basically what all the banks said, too.
Can you just start really small and get some experience and apply again?
I wished it were that easy. I don't have the packaging and enough of some of the samples I need to put into the boxes people would use to order.
Fisher raked a hand through his hair.
Shit. I have about 9 grand in the bank I was saving for a rainy day. It's yours. You don't even have to pay me back.
I love you for offering that, Fisher. I really do. But I can't take your money.
Don't be ridiculous. You're my family, and that's what families do.
I didn't want to insult my friend, but $9,000 wouldn't be nearly enough to launch. I'll figure something out. But thank you for the generous offer. It means the world to me that you would even consider doing that.
You know what this calls for?
What?
Dumb. I'm going to go get one of those expensive bottles of champagne we have left from that wedding.
This calls for a celebration. Are we celebrating my loan decline? Or the fact that my apartment is now a warehouse? Fisher kissed my forehead.
We're celebrating that this is all going to work out. Remember, if you don't think positive, positive things won't happen. I'll be right back.
While he disappeared to his apartment next door, I looked around. My living room was a total disaster, which felt appropriate right about now since my life matched it. 1 year ago, I'd been engaged to be married, had a great job making six figures, savings most 27-year-olds didn't accumulate until they were 40, and the dream of an exciting new business venture. Now my ex-fiancé was engaged to someone else, I was unemployed and broke, and my new exciting business felt more like a noose around my neck. I stared down at the loan denial letter on the table for a minute, then wadded it up into a ball and pitched it toward the kitchen garbage can. Of course, I missed. In a daze, I shuffled through my mail, which was mostly just advertisements, and then decided to open the ripped package that had come. I assumed it was yet more of the product samples I'd ordered before the bank closed my line of credit, product I'd now never be able to afford. But when I opened the box, it wasn't perfume ingredient samples. Instead, it was a diary I'd ordered off eBay. I'd actually forgotten all about it since I'd won the auction almost 3 full months ago. Shipping from overseas could take forever, and this one had come from Italy. Normally, when a new diary arrived, I could hardly wait to read the first chapter. But this one was just a reminder of $247 I'd wasted. I set it down on the coffee table in the living room and decided to go wash up before Fisher returned with the champagne. 10 minutes later, when I emerged from the bathroom, I found my best friend sprawled out on my couch, drinking bubbly and thumbing through the new diary.
You know this woman didn't write in English, right?
Fisher held out a glass of champagne for me. I took it and plopped down on the chair across from him. It's Italian, and it's a man's, which means I overpaid for it and still need to have it translated. Men's diaries always went for a premium on auction sites because they were so rare. Last time I bought a French one, it cost me $300, plus $150 for a translator. I sipped the champagne. It'll be collecting dust for a while. Splurging for a translation isn't as high on my priority list as eating next month. Fisher shook his head and tossed the beat-up old diary on the coffee table.
I thought you quit reading them after what happened last year when you got too caught up in it.
I sighed. I fell off the wagon.
You're a strange bird, my Stella Bella. You know that?
This coming from a man who collects the stickers you peel off bananas on the inside of his coat closet door. My cell phone started to ring in my pocket, so I slipped it out and read the name flashing on the screen. Well, this is appropriate. It's the woman whose champagne we stole.
Tell her to send more.
I laughed and swiped to answer. Hello? Hey, Stella, it's Olivia. Hey, Olivia, thanks for calling me back. I wanted to let you know I have the perfumes done for your wedding party. I'm so excited to see them, or smell them, or see and smell them, whatever. I smiled. I hope your friends like them. I told a few people about what you do, and they're all interested in having scents made. Do you know when your website will be up and running yet? I frowned. Not in the foreseeable future, unfortunately. Oh no, what happened? The SBA turned down my loan application. I just received the letter today. Idiots. I'm sorry. Thanks.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
What about taking on a partner? Someone who comes with a cash infusion in exchange for an interest in the business?
I'd actually considered that, but no one I knew had much money. Maybe. I'm going to give it some thought. Tonight I'll have a few drinks to forget. Tomorrow I'll start formulating a new game plan.
Good. That's the right attitude.
Thank you. So where do you want me to ship your perfumes?
I could meet you tomorrow if you're free.
My maid of honor is leaving in 2 days to go work in London for a few months. I'm meeting her for dinner tomorrow night. I'd love to give it to her then, if it's not too much trouble for me to pick them up.
No, no problem at all.
Okay, I have a meeting in the morning. Is it all right if I text you when that ends to let you know a time? I should be able to come to wherever you are.
Sure, that's fine. Talk to you then.
After I hung up, Fisher said,
Only you would make friends with the woman whose wedding we crashed.
I shrugged. Olivia's actually really great. I'm going to give her all the perfumes I made for her wedding party as an apology gift, rather than charge her. I figured it's the least I could do.
See if she has any more parties we can crash.
He held up the bottle of champagne before refilling his glass.
We can't go back to the cheap stuff after this.
He sucked half a glass down and let out an exaggerated ah.
By the way, I take it you haven't heard from Prince Charming or you would have said something?
I frowned. Nope. When I had lunch with Olivia, she didn't mention that she knew he'd asked me out. So I didn't either. Though she did tell me he tended to hold a grudge.
His loss.
I didn't say so, but it felt like a loss to me, too. Something about Hudson had gotten under my skin, and I'd been excited to go out with him. In fact, I couldn't remember the last time I'd anticipated a call from a man the way I had his, which was why, when he hadn't followed through, it had weighed on me a bit more than it should have. But, oh well. Ben was nice. Over the next 2 hours, Fisher and I polished off that bottle and a bottle of wine I'd had open in my fridge. At least one thing had gone right this week. I'd managed to get sufficiently loaded as intended. When I yawned, Fisher took the hint.
All right, I'll leave. You don't have to fake yawn to get rid of me.
It wasn't fake.
Sure it wasn't.
He stood and took our glasses and the two empty bottles into the kitchen. When he came back, I was debating sleeping in the comfy chair where I was currently slouched. Fisher leaned down and kissed my forehead.
I love you. Everything will be better tomorrow.
Considering I'd probably be waking with a headache, I doubted that. But I hated to be a Debbie Downer. Thanks again for everything, Fisher. Love you too. He picked up the diary still sitting on the coffee table.
I'm taking this and having it translated for your birthday next month.
I won't be 28 for a long time. Your birthday is next month. Are you doing what you did last year?
Yes, all the treats are for you because you're my best gift ever. Plus, making you happy makes me happy, Stella Bella. Just don't let this diary take over your life.
Chapter 6. 15 years ago. I picked up a brown leather book and brought it to my nose for a sniff. God, I love that smell. It reminded me of Spencer Knox. He carried a football everywhere he went and always tossed it into the air and caught it while talking. Every time the calfskin smacked against his palms, the faint smell of leather wafted and made me smile. The lady running the garage sale was older and had an orange fanny pack around her midriff. Her frizzy gray hair stuck out in all different directions, making me think she might have recently stuck her finger into a socket instead of the plug of the lamp she was positioning on a folding table. I walked over to her.
Excuse me, how much is this?
She glanced down at my hands.
It's 50 cents, but I paid $10 for it 15 years ago at someone else's garage sale. That's what happens when you buy crap you don't really need. You end up getting rid of it like the person before you did. You write in a diary?
I hadn't actually noticed the word diary embossed on the front cover until she pointed it out. I shook my head. I've never had one before. A thin woman wearing a sweater set with her hair slicked back into a neat ponytail walked up the driveway carrying a boxed coffee maker.
I'll give you $5 for this.
The old lady pursed her lips.
Can you not read? The sticker says it's 20.
I'm only willing to pay 5.
Well, then you can walk your skinny little ass right back over to the table you got it from and put it back.
The sweater set woman gasped.
How rude.
The old lady grumbled something about the woman going back to her country club and returned her attention to me.
So, do you want that diary or not? I need to pay attention to the browsers. Some people don't think the prices at a garage sale are low enough, so they help themselves to a 5-finger discount.
I'd been thinking I should offer 25 cents, since she'd started out at 50. My mom always said we should haggle at these sales. But this woman didn't seem like the negotiating type. Besides, I had the 50 cents, she'd paid $10, and I was a little afraid of her. So I dug into my pocket and pulled out 2 quarters. I'll take it. A few days later, I went to my room after dinner and locked the door before digging out the diary. I didn't want my sister bursting in and finding out I was writing down the things on my mind. She'd most definitely try to read it when I wasn't home, especially if she knew the type of stuff on my mind lately. 2 days ago, Spencer had asked me to be his girlfriend. I'd had the biggest crush on him since 5th grade. Of course I'd said yes, even though my parents had told my sister she couldn't date until high school when she'd asked, and I was only in 7th grade. Before Spencer became my boyfriend, I'd never been nervous around boys. But now I was freaking out whenever he and I so much as talked. I knew the reason. He'd gone out with Kelly Reed before me, and they'd made out. I'd never kissed a boy before, and now I worried I might do it wrong when the time came. So I thought it might be a good first entry in my new diary. Maybe it would help me work out how I was going to handle things by putting my fears down on paper. Lying on my stomach on my bed, I swung my feet in the air behind me as I chewed on the top of my pencil and decided how to start. Do I just write Dear Diary, or is that Geek City?
Stella?
My father's voice and the sound of him attempting to turn my door handle startled me. I jumped up, and the diary bounced off the bed, landing pages down on the floor.
Who is it?
It's your father. What other man knocks on your bedroom door, and why is it locked?
Because I'm getting changed for bed.
Oh, all right. I was just popping in to say goodnight.
Night, Dad.
Goodnight, Pipsqueak.
I listened for his footsteps to fade into the distance before I scooped the diary off the floor. Some of the pages in the middle had wrinkled, so I went to smooth them out. But when I turned the book over, I found words written on the pages. Lots of them. Confused, I read a few lines and then flipped a few pages back. My eyes widened as I read the top of one of the pages. Dear Diary. Oh my God. I flipped back more pages. 2 or 3 were filled with words, but then there was the same start. Dear Diary. Pages and pages were filled. How could I have not noticed? I could have sworn I'd opened it at the garage sale, but as I flipped to the beginning, I realized why I hadn't spotted all the blue ink. The first 5 or 6 pages of the diary were completely blank. But whose diary was it? The woman said she'd bought it at a garage sale years ago. So had she not noticed either? Maybe I should go back and return it, or give it to my mom and see what she thought I should do. Though, maybe I could read a little first and see if it gave me any idea who the book belonged to. I didn't have to read the entire thing. Just one little entry. That would be it. I flipped through from the first page to make sure I was at the very beginning, and then scanned the 2 simple words on the first line. Dear Diary. Just one little entry. It couldn't do any harm. I had no idea then just how much those words would come back to haunt me.
Chapter 7.
Hello?
Hi, Stella, it's Olivia.
I switched the phone to my other ear so I could finish putting on my earrings. How are you, Olivia?
I'm good, but my day is a little busier than I'd thought. Do you think you might be able to come by my office today with the perfumes? I'm not sure where you live, but if downtown is a giant pain in the ass for you, I can send a car.
My apartment was on the Upper East Side, so getting downtown was actually pretty inconvenient. But I owed Olivia, so I wasn't about to complain.
That's fine. I have some errands to run downtown anyway.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Is around 2 o'clock okay?
Sure, that's perfect.
Okay, I'll see you then. It sounded like she was about to hang up.
Wait, I need the address.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had it.
Why would I have her office address? Did she think I'd stalked her thoroughly before showing up at her wedding? Jesus, just when I'd started to get over being embarrassed.
No, I don't. It's 15 Broad Street, 14th floor.
I shut my jewelry box.
Broad Street? That's where Hudson's office was.
You work in the same building as your brother?
Oh, I assumed you knew. Hudson and I actually work together. Rothschild Investments was our father's business.
I hadn't known, and it shouldn't have made any difference, but I'd be lying if I said the thought of possibly running into Hudson didn't make my pulse race. When I went quiet for a minute, Olivia wrongly assumed why.
It's a pain in the ass to get to, isn't it? Let me send a car for you.
No, it's absolutely fine. I'll see you at 2.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, but thank you. After I hung up, I looked in the mirror above my dresser. I'd gotten out of the shower and put my wet hair into a ponytail. Suddenly, I thought I might be in the mood to take it down and give it a nice blow dry.
Hey! I stood from my seat in the reception area, and Olivia swamped me in a big hug. Sorry to make you wait. I've had an awful morning. I wished I looked as bright-eyed and chipper as she did having a bad day.
It's fine. I wasn't waiting long.
She waved toward the inner sanctum. Come on back. Do you have to leave right away? I was hoping we could talk. I ordered us some salads in case you were hungry.
I still couldn't get over the turn of events, that the woman whose wedding I'd crashed wanted to be my friend.
Sure, I'd love that. Thanks.
I followed Olivia, turning left and then right. I knew from my visit to pick up my cell phone that the last door in the end of this hallway was Hudson's office. As we walked closer, my mouth grew dry. His door was open, so I attempted to sneak a look inside without getting caught. Disappointment set in as we passed, and I saw it was empty. But it was probably for the best. I'd wasted enough time on a man who hadn't called. Olivia's office was located around the corner from her brother's. It was large and sleek, but not quite the proverbial corner office with the floor-to-ceiling windows looking down on the city like her brother had. Don't get me wrong, I'd be thrilled to sit in a closet in this building. But I found it interesting that his space made it appear he was higher on the corporate food chain when Olivia had said they worked together, not that she worked for her brother. I skipped breakfast. Do you mind if we eat before I take a look at the perfumes? I'm dying to get my hands on it, but I'm also diabetic and shouldn't skip meals.
Sure, of course.
Olivia and I sat across from each other. I unfurled the cloth napkin that held the utensils and laid it across my lap.
This looks great.
I hope you like it. I ordered a chopped salad that had some of the same ingredients that were in your lunch the last time we got together, just to be safe.
God, she was so thoughtful.
We dug into our salads.
So, any better news about signature scent? She asked.
I forced a smile, trying not to let on how miserable I was.
Not really. The launch is going to be more delayed than I'd hoped, since the SBA loan fell through.
She frowned. I'm sorry about that. I kind of thought it might not get approved when we talked at lunch, but I didn't want to say anything and jinx it. I've worked with them before, and they're not really as startup-friendly as they claim to be.
Yeah, they basically said come back once you're up and running and have some sales history.
Would you consider taking on a private equity investor? It's part of what we do here. Rothschild Investments is a wealth management company. We offer typical money management services, like managing stock investment portfolios, but we also have a pool of investors who invest capital in exchange for a piece of a new or expanding company.
So you're selling a piece of your company to a bunch of different people?
She nodded.
Yes, sort of, but you usually keep controlling interest. And since the investors have a vested interest in your success, they don't just hand you the check. They also provide management help, like using their buying power and other resources. Our venture capital division has a whole team whose sole responsibility is to support the businesses they invest in.
Would I even qualify for something like that? I've invested a ton of my own savings, but I don't have a steady income anymore. To be honest, I'm going to have to get a job soon if I don't start turning over some of the inventory I bought.
Working with a VC is different than a bank. It's not based on an owner's income, but on the potential of the business itself. I could set you up with an appointment if you wanted to explore it as an option.
Could I think about it a bit and get back to you? It's very generous of you to even consider my business for such a thing. I just want to make sure it's the right decision for me.
Of course, absolutely.
Olivia and I finished our lunch, chatting away like old friends. After, I showed her all of the perfumes I'd made for her wedding party, and she literally squealed over each one. Her excitement was contagious, and as I got ready to leave her office, I felt more pumped than I had in weeks, at least since the bank had yanked my line of credit. Thank you for lunch again, Olivia.
Anytime. It was fun.
And I'll get back to you as soon as possible on the private equity investment possibility. Just out of curiosity, if I decided to try that route, what would be the first step?
You'd meet with the VC investment team and tell them about your business, do a little dog and pony show here at the office, and answer whatever questions they might have.
I nodded. Okay, thank you. Olivia walked me back out to the reception area, and we hugged goodbye.
Let me know what you decide, and I can probably get you on the calendar for next week.
I think Hudson is going out of town, but not until Thursday.
Hudson?
Yeah, he's the head of the VC investment team.
Didn't I mention that?
No, you definitely did not.
I asked around and heard nothing but stellar things about Rothschild Investments, Fisher reported.
I poured a glass of wine and sat down at the kitchen table across from him. He'd come straight over after work, so he still had on a suit and looked all dapper. 2 days had passed since I met with Olivia, and I still hadn't come to a decision on the possibility of selling part of my business to an investment group. The law firm Fisher worked at had a corporate division that did a lot of work with IPOs and financing, even though Fisher worked in entertainment law. So after he educated me on the realities of working with a venture capitalist, he put out feelers to get some references for Olivia's family's company.
Prince Charming has a reputation for being tough, he said.
I sipped my wine. Well, I guess there's a reason Evelyn used to call him GQ Prick.
But he also has a pretty damn impressive track record of success for the businesses they take on. It's something you may want to seriously consider.
I sighed. I don't know.
What's holding you back?
Selling a piece of my business before it even gets off the ground. Fisher nodded.
I get it. I really do. But realistically, what's your alternative? It will take you years of going back to work full-time to save the type of money you need to launch the way you'd planned. And you said yourself that a lot of the inventory you have won't make it that long.
I could save for a little while and launch at a much smaller scale.
But then you'd be working full-time while trying to make a go of a business that needs your full attention.
My shoulders slumped.
I know. You were going to borrow from the bank, so technically they would have owned your ass until you paid them back anyway. I spoke to the partner in charge of the business division at my firm. He said venture capitalists don't want to own the businesses they invest in forever. They're in it to make a nice return and get out. On to the next one. They need to liquidate or they'd wind up just owning a bunch of companies and no longer have capital ready for the next big thing that comes along. The average venture capitalist has an exit plan to be out within 7 to 8 years. And you can negotiate a first right of refusal. So when the time comes for them to sell, you get first crack at buying their ownership back.
Really?
Fisher nodded.
A bank loan would take you that long or longer to pay off anyway.
He had a good point. The reasons to not go this route were quickly shrinking. Though I still couldn't imagine that the man who had called me out for crashing his sister's wedding, only to ask me out and not call, had any desire to go into business with me. I sipped my wine and juggled my thoughts. Basically, a venture capitalist was my only choice left. Of course, I'd found out there were thousands of them when I'd done some research on my own. I could give a shot to working with another firm. I was certain Rothschild Investments wasn't the only game in town with good references. But on the other hand, they had Olivia, who seemed almost as excited and passionate about my business as I did. That was a huge plus. Then there was Hudson. At this point, he went into the minus column. However, what was that old saying? Better the devil you know than the devil you don't, or something along those lines. I took a deep breath and looked across the table at Fisher.
What would you do?
My cell phone sat in the middle of the table. He reached out and slid it over in front of me.
I'd make a call before your new friend changes her mind.
Chapter 8. What the hell, Olivia? Calm down. Calm down. This is why I didn't tell you until now. You overreact to things. I tossed the file I'd been working on to the side of my desk. I'm overreacting. A woman opens someone else's mail and crashes your wedding, a wedding that cost me a small fortune, I might add, and you want us to go into business with the loose cannon? I think it's more like you have a couple of screws loose than I'm blowing things out of proportion. I left out that I'd asked said loose cannon out on a date. Luckily, it seemed Little Miss Wedding Crasher hadn't shared that tidbit either when she talked to my sister. I shook my head, still digesting that my sister had invited Stella to present for the investment team. No, Olivia, just no. My God, Hudson, I remember when you weren't such a perfect person. If my memory serves me right, Dad had to bail you out after you were arrested for breaking and entering once. I was 17 and drunk and thought it was our house. My sister shrugged. What about the time you blew up a porta potty on a construction site? The only reason you didn't get arrested that time is because Dad agreed to buy the contractor 3 new ones. I was also in high school. It was the 4th of July, and Jack lit the M80, not me. You know what your problem is? I sat back in my chair and sighed. No, but I'm sure you're about to enlighten me. You're no fun anymore. 5 years ago, you would have laughed if someone had crashed a wedding you went to. Now you're uptight and bitter. Your divorce sucked the sense of humor right out of you. My jaw flexed. A woman I'd recently dated a few times had told me I didn't smile enough. I'd been polite and refrained from telling her she just wasn't very funny, but her comment had nagged at me. The week before, Charlie had drawn a picture of her family at school. Everyone was smiling. Her, my ex-wife, the babysitter, even the damn dog, except for me. I was frowning. I shook my head and picked up my pen. Go away, Olivia. She's coming in to do her presentation for the team at 2 o'clock today. They can vote with or without you. I lifted my chin toward my office door. Shut the door behind you. Evelyn, I nodded as I walked into the conference room. Stella frowned and my sister glared at me. What? I shrugged. You damn well know her name. I smirked and looked at Stella. Ah, that's right. Evelyn is your alter ego, the one who commits crimes. Apparently Stella is an upstanding businesswoman I have yet to meet. Do you change in a telephone booth or something? Since they hadn't started yet, I took my usual seat at the head of the conference room table. I was curious to see how Stella would handle my jabs. She surprised me by walking over with her hand extended. Hi, Mr. Rothschild. I'm Stella Bardot. It's very nice to meet you. I appreciate the opportunity to present to you today. I shook her hand and held her eyes. Can't wait. After telling myself I wasn't going to bother showing up for this meeting, I went to the front reception area a little before 2 o'clock. I'd gone to put some mail in the outgoing bin, but as I walked down the hall near the conference room, I caught a whiff of perfume and knew Stella had arrived. She smelled even better than I remembered. The scent brought back some other memories I didn't care to recall. Her phenomenal smile, a spunky personality, and the way I couldn't take my eyes off the slight hint of a pulse I could see in her neck when she laughed. The woman made me feel like a vampire. I wanted to suck on it so badly. Back in my office, I'd attempted to ignore what I knew was about to start in the conference room. But 10 minutes later, I gave in, knowing I wouldn't get any work done anyway. Plus, I never missed a pitch meeting, and it was probably best that I kept an eye on my sister. Someone had to keep her bleeding heart from giving away the kitchen sink. Stella returned to her seat. I could tell by the way she kept shifting in her chair and twisting her ring that she was nervous, though she did her best to pretend she wasn't, which I respected. The VC investment team was comprised of 3 senior analysts, the director of marketing, Olivia, and myself, but I generally led the team and did most of the questioning. From the other end of the table, my sister caught my eye and gave me what I knew was a warning look. She wanted to remind me to be on my best behavior. Why don't we get started, shall we? I asked. Looking to my left, I gave Stella a curt nod. The floor is yours, Ms. Bardot. She took a deep breath, not unlike the way she'd steadied herself after taking the mic in front of the crowd at my sister's wedding, and not unlike the image I'd conjured up on more than one occasion over the last few weeks while in the shower. Those gorgeous green eyes, full pink lips, and innocent face. Stella Bardot was beautiful. There was no doubt about that. But it was the way she rose to a challenge, pushing through to say screw you at the end, that made me want to sink my teeth into her flawless ivory skin. Today, her hair was up, pinned into some sort of a twist in the back, and she wore those thick, dark-rimmed glasses. I had the strongest urge to push her up against a stack of books, rip her hair down, and toss her glasses over my shoulder. Mature, Rothschild. Very mature thoughts. Not to mention professional, too. Luckily, at least one person in the room seemed to have their head screwed on straight. Stella cleared her throat. I brought a few sample kits, a demo of the website, some details of what I've invested so far, and a report of the inventory on hand. It's probably best if I start with the sample kit. I nodded once, but said nothing. For the next half hour, I listened to her presentation. Surprisingly, for a woman who acted on impulse, her business planning had been well thought out. The website was professional, with good branding and simple navigation. Most of the time when new business owners came in, they'd get the pretty right, but hadn't given any thought to the importance of remarketing. But not Stella. She talked about metrics and follow-back advertisements, demonstrating that she was thinking long-term instead of short. The amount of capital she'd invested was also impressive, though it made me wonder where she'd gotten that kind of cash. Does the business owe anyone money or have existing investors? I asked. No, no debt at all. I had one partner who had invested funds, but I bought him out last year. So the 225 grand you've put into it so far, that came from my savings. I guess the skepticism showed on my face because she added, I made $110,000 as the senior chemist in my last job. It took me 6 years of saving and turning the small office in my apartment into a bedroom and taking on roommates. But I put away almost half of my net income every year. Impressed again, I nodded. Half the people who presented before us had gotten handouts from Mommy and Daddy, or owed a big chunk of money before they even got up and running. I had to give her credit for the perseverance it took to get this far, though I wouldn't be giving her that credit aloud. When Stella got to the demonstration part of her presentation, I could tell my sister was already familiar with everything. She basically acted like her sidekick, helping Stella sell the product. They seemed to gel really well, and one picked up where the other left off. Olivia added anecdotal comments about how much all of her friends loved their creations. At one point, the two of them were laughing, and I found myself watching Stella, focusing on the pulse in her neck. I couldn't seem to take my eyes off the damn thing. Olivia glanced over and gave me a funny look. So what do you think? My sister asked after the presentation was over. Isn't it an amazing product? A strong murmur went around the room, each of my staff nodding and giving some sort of praise. The marketing manager talked about the profitability of the perfume industry and how much beauty supplies sold in general. For the most part, I remained quiet until my sister looked at me. Hudson, what do you think? The concept is interesting enough. Though I'm not sold on the idea that rating some smelling samples and completing an online survey equates to consistently making a product the consumer will like. Well, I love mine, Olivia said, and the seven women in my bridal party all went crazy over theirs. Stella turned and looked at me. Would you like to give it a test run yourself? Perhaps have a woman in your life try it out? My sister snorted. Should he have his cleaning lady or his 6-year-old daughter test it out? I scowled at Olivia. Actually, Stella said, he can try it out himself. I'm not really much of a perfume wearer, but thanks. I didn't mean you had to put it on. You know what smells you like and which ones you don't, right? If you go to the perfume counter at a store, you smell a bunch of samples until you find the one that appeals to you. Signature scent just skips the unnecessary steps. If you go through the process, the scent I create for you should be appealing enough that you would have bought it in the store for a woman. She shrugged. Men like perfume as much as women. They just don't spray it on themselves. As much as I thought her presentation had gone well, and she had a good product and unique marketing, I wasn't sure she was a person I wanted to partner with. Something didn't sit right, even without considering the wedding fiasco, or that she seemed to be the star of my pathetically frequent showers lately. I just couldn't put my finger on what it was, though my sister would drive me nuts if I didn't have a legitimate business reason to decline investing, so perhaps this sampling could be my out. Standing, I buttoned my jacket. Fine, give me a kit and we'll see how this pans out. Olivia clapped her hands like it was already a done deal. I gave her a warning glare not to get her hopes up, which she, of course, ignored. I have a meeting to get to, I lied. Stella stood. She motioned to the crap all over the table. I'll put this sample box back together before I go and leave you a copy of the questions that will be up on the website. Sounds good. As I went to walk out, Stella called after me. Mr. Rothschild? I turned back to find her again extending her hand. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you considering this, especially with the way things started out between us. I looked down at her hand and back to her face before shaking. Good luck to you, Evelyn.
Chapter 9. I couldn't get over the letter in my hands. 10 days had passed since my presentation at Rothschild Investments. Like I'd promised, I'd left the sample kit behind for Hudson. The following day, Olivia had called to let me know she made sure he completed everything, and she messaged me over his ratings and completed survey. When the package arrived, I was floored to find it also included a ton of gorgeous graphics Olivia had gotten her marketing department to mock up. She'd even created a few catchy taglines I thought would be perfect on the outside of the custom boxes I still needed to have made. I'd called to thank her, and we spent almost 2 hours on the phone talking about all of our ideas. We'd also talked a half a dozen times since then. Her excitement was palpable, but after the last few letdowns I'd suffered with my financing, I was trying not to get my hopes up again, though Olivia made it impossible. When we'd spoken 2 days ago, she told me she'd received the perfume I'd created for Hudson. He'd been traveling for business, but she'd placed it on his chair and left him a note, so he'd see it as soon as he returned. Her husband's father had to have emergency heart surgery, so Olivia was leaving for California for a week, but she'd said she wanted to get together when she got back. I'd honestly been lulled into thinking Rothschild Investments was a done deal, which was why the letter I'd just read for the second time still shocked me.
Dear Ms. Bardot, thank you very much for your interest in working with Rothschild Investments. While your product was impressive, we regretfully must advise you that we will not be able to extend an offer at this time. We wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Sincerely yours, Hudson Rothschild.
Disappointment was an understatement for what I felt. Again. Still shocked, I reread the letter once more. I didn't want to call Olivia and ask what had happened, since she was dealing with her father-in-law's health. Besides, Hudson had been the one to sign the letter, and if I had to wait a full week until she got back, I'd climb the walls. So I decided to call Hudson directly. I needed to at least find out what had made them change their minds, because I knew for certain it wasn't the perfume I'd created for him. My fingers shook as I punched in his number on my cell. The cheery receptionist answered on the first ring.
Good afternoon, Rothschild Investments. How may I direct your call?
Hi. May I speak to Hudson Rothschild, please?
Let me put you through to see if he's available.
I held for a minute until a voice I recognized as Helena, his assistant, answered. I'd met her on the two occasions I'd visited the office. She'd been super friendly and loved the idea of signature scent.
Hi, Helena. This is Stella Bardot. Is it possible to speak to Hudson?
Hi, Stella. He just came back from a meeting. I think he has a lull in his schedule, but let me double-check if he's available. She came back on the line 30 seconds later. Her voice wasn't as upbeat.